In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Dear saints of God, the devil is obsessed with your destruction. It seems to me like after thousands and thousands of years of setbacks and frustrations that the devil himself would give up, that he would roll himself up into a ball and simply wait to be cast into the lake of fire. But this is not the case. He is furious. And his fury grows greater as the time grows shorter. He prowls around the earth like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And you, make no mistake, are on his list. Now, if you like it or not, he wants to wreck things for you. But he especially wants you to like it. He wants you to want it. He wants you to join his team. The devil didn't take the fruit off of the tree in the middle of the garden and stuff it in Adam's mouth. He took it off and polished it up and put it on a platter to bring before him to make it look good, so that when Eve saw the tree that was in the midst of the garden, she saw that it was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, that the tree was desirable to make one wise. So she took of the fruit and she ate, and gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. They ate because they thought that it was good. The devil wants your destruction, and he especially delights in you destroying yourself, which is why he makes sin look so good. It's why he's working all the angles to get you addicted to stuff, to sink his claws deeper and deeper into you, bit by bit, so that you hardly notice. It's why his temptations come to you timed perfectly, just right at that level where your conscience is starting to harden and callous over, so you feel it, but not too much. It's why the devil is invested in the success of your sin, in making sure that you get away with it, that no one calls you out on it, or that you don't think that anyone really is getting hurt. And it's why the devil loves it when you are sinned against. Now, I think this is an amazing strategy, that the devil would harden our own conscience to our own sin and yet tenderize our conscience to the sins committed against us. And you know about this. We sit there and talk bad about all sorts of people, thinking nothing of it, and then we hear a whisper that someone, somewhere, somehow said a careless word about us, and now we're up in arms and start catechizing the entire world about what it means to keep the eighth commandment. The devil loves it when we're offended and we're angry, because our anger is a justified lovelessness. I know I'm supposed to love my neighbor, but look what they did. They sinned against me, and now they're not on the neighbor list anymore. They don't deserve our love anyways. So our anger carries around a little self-justifying Pharisee in its back pocket, ready to excuse the most miserable behavior so that it doesn't even touch our conscience. After all, I'm right. And the devil loves our being right. The woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes. Now, all of this is to say that the devil hides from us, his victims, his end and goal, what he has in mind, so that we become blind to the danger that we are pursuing. The devil doesn't want us to see the end of the road that he puts us on, that the end of that road is death and destruction. Now remember, as an illustration, how Solomon described the danger of adultery. This is Proverbs chapter 5. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to hell. The first step is honey. The second step, smoother than oil. But the last step is death and hell, destruction itself. That is where the road ends. Now to the gospel text. Jesus crosses over the Sea of Galilee into the land of the Gerasenes, and there are two men there, demoniacs. They are on those last steps of the devil's road. They are right where the devil would have them. They're naked, living in the graveyard, strong enough to tear chains off of their body, and so fearful that the people of that area wouldn't go down the road for fear of them. Do you know the bill? I don't know if they have them in Indiana. In Colorado, they're all over. I'm not sure what that says about Colorado, but there's these billboards against meth, and they show the face of people who are addicted to meth. Their teeth are falling out. Their faces are scratched up. There's no life at all in their eyes. And you see the billboard, you see that picture, and you immediately know what they're getting after. This is where the road ends. You might think it is good. You might think that it's fun, but if you keep going this way, this will be your end. Now, these two men that the Holy Spirit puts before us in the text are like a billboard against the devil. It is saying, this is where the road ends. You might think that things are innocent, that your sin is not a big deal, that your addiction is harmless, that your transgressions are somehow the spice of life, that the devil is not that dangerous, that he's been pretty good to you so far. But these two demoniacs in their miserable state are here in front of you today to bring you to your senses, back to the reality of the devil's kingdom, to the rot and the darkness, to the doom and death that belongs to the one who comes to kill and steal and destroy you. Now, do you see it? The devil wants your destruction. But he is no match for Jesus. Do you see, Jesus goes down the road where men were afraid to walk, and Jesus brings fear with him. Now, when Jesus walks down the road, it is the demons who are trembling, the entire legion of them, and they say, "What have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before the time? If you send us out, let us go to the pigs." They do not like the presence of Jesus, and they cannot abide by his word. "Go," he says, and out they go to the pigs and into the sea, and these two men are back. They're in their right mind, the text says. They're clothed, they're eating food, they're talking. And Jesus, in fact, sends them back to their families to care for their wives and children and get back to their work and back to their prayers. "Go," says Jesus. And thousands of demons are gone. One little word has felled them. Do you see, Jesus wants your destruction. I better say that sentence again. The devil wants your destruction, but the devil cannot stand in the way of Jesus, who is intent on your salvation. Do you see that the only thing that the devil has on you is your sin, which we can all admit is quite significant, but your sin, all of it, and even that sin that's floating around in your imagination right now, or the one that's bouncing around your conscience, troubling you, even that sin that guy committed against you the other day and you can't quite get over, even the thousands and thousands of sins that you don't even know about, all of it, every last bit of it, is died for by Jesus, covered with his blood, forgiven at his word. So that there is for you, dear saints, nothing left for the devil to condemn, nothing to accuse. There is no room even for the devil to stand before the Lord and make an accusation against you. You are rescued from the devil by the forgiveness of your sins. The devil is obsessed with your destruction, but your Jesus, who is the stronger man, is obsessed with your salvation. And for this reason, the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.